Hello, everybody. It's once again time for another edition of the Throwback. This is your host, Ryan the Podman.
And me, Daddy, Jimmy the Radio Man.
It's great to finally be back. We apologize for the delay in getting the episode out. When we had our special Christmas episode, Jimmy's little cousin lit our Christmas tree on fire and did some damage to our studio with the lighter. We had to redo our whole studio.
Yeah, Daddy, I'm sorry about that again, Ryan. He gets a little grumpy when he doesn't have his bottle before we start singing Christmas carols.
Well, it's over now. Don't worry about it. I'm just glad we're finally back, and we have a great show lined up for everybody today. The former host of the popular TBS show Dinner and a Movie, Mr. Paul Gilmartin, will be our special guest to talk about his time hosting the popular show.
Daddy, I can't wait. I used to love that show, especially the theme, Beans and Cornbread, Beans and Cornbread, Daddy.
I am almost afraid to ask you this, but why are you wearing an apron and chef's hat?
Oh, I want to cook a special meal for everyone to try out after the interview.
Oh, really? What kind of dish are you going to make?
Well, I'm going to be making something my old Auntie Ethel May used to make, the ketchup frosted pound cake.
Whoa. Ketchup frosted pound cake. You mean you actually use frosting, the ketchup as frosting on your pound cake?
Yeah, among other things. Look here, I invited a personal chef I found outside of a Chili's parking lot, Daddy.
Hello, Chef RC, at your service.
Jimmy, are you sure this guy's a real chef? He looks like he just broke out of jail.
Of course he is, Daddy. He's watched every episode of Emerald Live, both in German and in English.
Chef Boy RC, huh? What does the C stand for?
C stands for crap!
The C stands for crap, everybody. Oh, boy. Anyways, everybody, as usual, if you like what you hear today, be sure to check us out on Spotify, iHeartRadio, and Apple Podcasts for more exclusive interviews. Now, here's our exclusive interview with former host of TBS Dinner and a Movie and comedian Paul Gilmartin.
You are listening to The Throwback Podcast, your stop for everything 90s. This is a Throwback exclusive.
Joining me at this time is the former host of the TBS show Dinner and a Movie, as well as the current host of the podcast, The Mental Illness Happy Hour. I am pleased to welcome Paul Gilmartin. Paul, how are you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Let's start out, how'd you get into stand-up comedy?
Well, I think I always wanted to do it when I was younger, but I didn't know how to start or where to begin, and it was kind of scary, The idea of getting up on stage alone. And so I did a comedy competition in college, and I took an acting class to overcome my stage fright and kind of fell in love with performing, and I changed my major to theater. And after I graduated college, I started doing open mics, and eventually I had enough material that I could quit my day job, and that would have been in 88. And then I pretty much stopped doing stand-up. I still perform here and there, but I stopped doing stand-up in about 2011, 2012.
You stopped in 2011, okay. When you were doing like the stand-up comedy, was there any like particular like stand-up comedians or comedians that you saw growing up that inspired you?
Oh, many, many. Richard Pryor and George Carlin were the two biggest ones. But there were other comedians that I differ greatly on his view of politics these days. When I was coming up, Dennis Miller was a great joke writer who had kind of his own style and voice that early on I think I tried to emulate, and I eventually found my own style. But that's pretty common for stand-ups starting out, is to try to emulate people that you like. But I would say George Carlin probably.
Yeah, he was pretty funny. I liked him too. Now, when you were in school growing up, would you consider yourself a funny guy or no?
Yeah, but I more picked my moments. I wasn't the kind of person that was disruptively funny per se. But I definitely
Yeah.
I definitely liked getting attention. But I've always been drawn to funny people as friends.
Yeah. That's cool. Now, how did you first learn about the TBS and Dinner and a Movie? Like, how did you first learn about that this particular role? You're a stand-up comedian, and now suddenly there's, like, a opening for a new TV show for a host. How did that happen?
My agent just sent me out on an audition for it, and I got it.
Just got it. How long did that take? Was it, like, a long process?
I think it was a total of 3 auditions, maybe. And, yeah, it was 3 auditions.
Wow.
Yeah, and that was in 1995.
Wow.
And it was aired, it went on the air in the fall of 95, and it went off the air in 2011.
Wow. Did you know if there were a lot of other people up for the role, or not too many?
Yeah, I mean, in Los Angeles, there's always pretty decent amount of people that are up for a role, so you know, my guess would be probably at least 50 people.
Wow.
100. I'm not sure. I'm not a casting director.
I hear you. Now, how was it like working with Annabelle Gurwitch as your co-host on set?
It could be really contentious at times.
Mm-hmm.
But that's also the reason they cast us together, is kind of clashed in the audition, and I think they saw something there, but it took me a while to understand that that's what they saw.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it took a while for me to kind of find the right way to play that.
Right.
That clash, so that
it was like a filling out process type of deal.
Yeah. But I was very confused for a while because they didn't tell me that. And I had very specific ideas about what I thought was funny, so I'm sure I was a handful to work with as well. But in hindsight, I can see what they were going for, and I think it did certainly give the show kind of a unique feel to it, because typically when you see a co-host on a show, or at least at that point, you didn't see them busting each other's balls too much. It was very kind of reading off the teleprompter, really disingenuous, trite banter.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to do the opposite of that. I wanted to be as unhosty as possible. And so I tried to just be myself. And I think that helped give it a flavor that people like.
Yeah, it was a very unique show, because it was like the first show that combined like classic movies with improv with like an actual culinary like menu all in one. It's like pretty cool.
And my co-host as well.
Yeah.
And the chef, he's a great improviser as well.
Yeah.
We had fun.
Yeah. Now the chef, my next question is like, who came up with some of the recipes and names for the some of the stuff we saw on the show, like the Sean Penn pasta salad or the Rockabye baby back ribs. It was like, I'm guessing was it the chef that came up with the with the names?
Yeah, he came up with the names and the recipes.
Yeah,
he was also the idea for the show was a joint idea between him and a woman who was the producer.
Oh, okay.
Work for
TBS. Was there any particular recipes or things on the show that you tried out that was like your favorite that you can remember? Like, is there anything particular food-wise that stood out to you that you enjoyed?
It was all so good. Occasionally there would be something that I just, it's not that it wasn't prepared well, it's just something that I personally don't like, but he's a great chef.
Yeah.
And we're still good friends. But there's there's just too many to remember.
Yeah. Did you ever? You never tried any of the recipes at home, like away from set?
Oh, no, I did.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
All right.
I think I did make one at home called Goal Post Pork Roast or something that I think it might have been from the movie All the Right Moves, maybe.
Oh yeah.
Right. That one was good.
Oh, that does sound good. Do you have any funny stories or behind the scenes moments during the whole time of dinner and movie, like anything that stands out to you?
One that I remember in particular was Claude, who was the chef, kept stumbling over a word, and we kept having to do take after take, and every time it seemed like he was just about to say the word correctly, he stumbled, and about the sixth take, I don't know, I just started laughing so hard that I almost couldn't breathe.
Yeah.
And there were moments when we made each other laugh so hard, you know, because it was improvised. We were always trying to make each other laugh and make the crew laugh. Mm. And so, honestly, some of the funniest stuff was stuff that was, you know, too R-rated to be aired. And so it never made it to air, but we would do it because it would help keep our energy up. And it just made the day go by quicker if you were laughing.
Yeah.
And we definitely enjoyed making each other laugh. But I have a lot of great memories of doing that show.
Yeah, it was such a great show. I remember too, there was a little bit of a crossover with you guys with other TBS shows, like especially I think World Championship Wrestling. Like you guys had some of the wrestlers under, I think Macho Man and DDP. And if I remember correctly, weren't you a temporary member of the NWO on an episode of The Clash?
I was one of the champions in like kind of 97 or 98, something like that.
Yeah.
And yeah, I took the diamond cutter. That hurt.
Oh.
That really hurt. That, it was fun.
Yeah.
I was glad I did it. Yeah.
That was a lot of fun. How was it working with the wrestlers on set, like those guys?
Oh, they're great.
Yeah.
They're improvisers. So
yeah.
They like to play, and they know how to work the camera. Work in front of the camera. So yeah, Randy Savage was a really sweet guy.
Yeah.
And, yeah, they were nice.
Yeah, that comes second nature to them, being like improv and behind the cameras. Like, they're always on call for that now. I think we kind of already touched on this, but do you still keep in touch with any of your former co-hosts? I think you said the chef, right? Yeah.
Yeah, with Claude and actually Annabelle once in a while, or talk to her once in a while, and still friends with Lisa Arch, and who is the second co-host, and then Janet Arney, who was the third co-host.
Oh, that's cool. Now, Dinner and Movie had such a long run. It went from, 1995 to, 2011? What finally caused it to be canceled? Is it, was it just like...
I think it had just run its course.
Yeah.
The comedy was starting to get repetitive. I think we were probably getting a little too old in the network's mind to be hosts on there. And I certainly felt like it was it had run its course because it was really starting to feel repetitive. And as a comedian, that's not a very fun place to be when your heart isn't into your comedy. And they had started selling so much advertising that we had about probably 1/5 of the amount of time on camera to goof around than we had at the beginning of the show.
Right.
They had not only cut the show length down, but they had put more ads in there, so we would have to be, holding up a product and talking about it. So it just really
Yeah. Do you, like, I think you already answered this, but you say you don't do stand up comedy anymore. Like you don't do it anymore.
No, I occasionally perform political satire as a right wing congressman character, but that's about it.
Yeah, I mean,
I do live recordings of my podcast, but that's not stand up.
Yeah. I know you see like a lot of these successful stand-up comedians, like a lot of them, some of them like transition to like other things like TV shows or movies. That was something that you weren't really interested in doing at the time?
No, I think I was. Oh, you mean in 2011?
Yeah, I mean just in general, yeah.
Oh, in general, yeah. When I moved to LA, that was my hope, was to get on a sitcom or be in movies, and that never really panned out. I think I made peace with that, and honestly, by the time I stopped doing dinner and a movie, I really hated going on auditions, and I hated most of what was on TV, because this is before Netflix really kind of took off. So
yeah.
The quality of TV other than HBO was really, really bad, and I just said no desire to keep auditioning for things I didn't like, and yeah, so it was kind of a relief, honestly, to move away from television.
Yeah.
I've always liked doing stuff that's just audio. I'm not really sure why. Maybe because you don't have to worry about what you look like, and you're just focused in on kind of painting an audio picture of what you're trying to do,
yeah.
Which is simpler than having to worry about visuals.
Yeah, there's no cameras, yeah.
Yeah, and when you're doing a podcast, you're your own boss, so you can say fuck as much as you want.
Yeah.
Have an episode be as long as you want. And after working in television where it is constant creative compromise, and it just felt like kind of being let out of creative jail. it didn't feel that way in the beginning doing the show. It felt very creatively fulfilling, and like we could take chances. But
right.
Once the show started to become popular, then they started to sell more advertising, and you know, ultimately it's a business to them, and so they're going to sell as many ads as they can. And they usually wind up killing the very vibe that made it popular, and that's what happened. So it kind of made me angry and disappointed
about
the direction that they took the show in. But
right.
I'm not the head of a network, and I'm not a salesperson, so that's my angle.
Right. Do you think the concept of a dinner and a movie could work in 2018, but yeah.
I don't know why not. I think it really depends on the people doing it.
Yeah.
I think just about any concept can be great if it's done right. It's so much of it is in the execution. Yeah, you know, take for instance the movie Deadpool. I'm not a huge fan of superhero movies. And a lot of them just feel so similar.
Mm-hmm.
But Deadpool is the perfect example of, with the execution of it, you can make something really, really different,
mm-hmm.
and fun and funny. And yeah, it's so technically, yes, it's in Superman, Batman, or all superhero movies, but there's such a difference.
Yeah.
Each one of them.
That's so true. Yeah, it's so different. I think we already kind of touched on this too, but what made you want to start up a podcast? I think you touched on this, you have like more freedom. You're your own boss, and like what made you like what was the moment that made you want to like start a podcast? Like, was there something in particular that triggered your inspiration for it?
Had mentioned you should do a podcast, and my then wife, encouraging me to do it, but I didn't want to do a podcast just to be doing the podcast. Mm-hmm. I wanted it to be an idea that I was passionate about. And when I experienced a really bad bout of depression, mm-hmm. In late 2010, when I came out of it, I thought, you know what, talking about mental and emotional battles would be a good topic for a podcast. And so that's how I came up with the idea. But the idea wasn't that, oh, here's how I'll make a living. It was just more like, here's something that's needed and that I think I would enjoy doing.
So you've been doing the podcast, what, since 2011?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So do you is it like one episode a week?
Yeah.
Okay. So where can people catch it? You're on iTunes and Spotify?
Pretty much any podcast player. You can get the most recent year or so of episodes, and then if you want the back catalog, that's available at Stitcher Premium.
All right, that's awesome. Well, we really appreciate you taking the time to come out to speak to us today about your career and your time on Dinner Movie. Paul Gilmartin, everybody.
I really enjoyed talking with Paul Gilmartin and want to once again thank him for taking time to come on the Throwback. He has had a pretty interesting career, both as a host and a comedian. And if you guys haven't checked it out already, be sure to check out his podcast, The Mental Illness Happy Hour, at www.mentalpod.com. as well as other places where you download your favorite iPods or podcasts.
Oh, yeah, Daddy. I really enjoyed that interview with him, Daddy. Paul Gilmartin. He's one talented man, Daddy. I'm definitely going to check out his podcast. Now, where did I put that spatula? Time to get cracking with this ketchup frosted pound cake. Chef 4RC is cracking the eggs as we speak, Daddy.
Batter up! Jimmy, he's using a baseball bat.
Yeah, Daddy, to add fluffiness. Now it's time to add the flour. Chef 4RC, work your magic, Daddy.
I got a fresh bouquet right here.
Wait a minute, those are flowers. You're supposed to be using cooking flour.
No, Daddy, this is what it says in my aunt's recipe. Now it's time to add the sugar.
You're pouring a whole bag of sugar in there. What kind of cake is this?
Oh, very good one, Daddy. Now we have to add some of this shit, Tabasco sauce and a little bit of onions.
And a cake?
Yeah, Daddy. Now, Chef 4RC, please do the honors of putting it in the oven.
Certainly.
Well, while Jimmy and this so-called chef finish off this one-of-a-kind dessert, I just wanted to tell you all, on the next edition of the Throwback, we have some special guests coming on in the month of April to talk about the 25th year anniversary of the hit Nickelodeon TV show, All That. Be sure to check us out on Twitter, at ThrowPodcast, or on Instagram, at Throwback_podcast, in the coming weeks to find out who. Hey, what else did you guys put in that cake? Something smells weird.
Oh, just the usual. Eggs, flour, sugar, onion, gum, hot sauce, and a pinch of Kool-Aid.
As tempting and great as that sounds, that's not what I'm smelling. It almost smells metallic.
Have you guys seen my phone? I had right next to the bowl checking my voicemail when... Found it.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to check us out on Twitter at Throw Podcast or on the web at www.blogtalkradio.com/throwback.